It is so important, it's so great, because if there's no iman, then a person is lost. If there's no food, a person will be hungry. If there's no water, he will be thirsty. If there's no roof over his head, he'll feel cold. But if there's no iman, he's gone to Jahannam forever. So this Dajjal that is going to come is going to pose a challenge and a threat to the very iman of people. And when we recite Suratul Kahf, then we will be saved from the deception. That is what is meant here. From the deception of the Dajjal. Where he is, the hadith, there's a whole different discussion when we discuss the signs of Qiyamah on another occasion. Where he is, when he will emerge, how he will come, all that is mentioned. Only we must remember Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this much, that there isn't a greater fitna which ever any Nabi had warned his people about in the past also, was the fitna of the Dajjal. So it is great, my respected friend. It is something to be afraid about. But we obviously have got this weakness of iman, and we don't know what can happen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you recite Suratul Kahf, you'll be saved. And he says that if the Dajjal comes in my time, I will sort him out. You don't have to worry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to the people that was in that era of his. Allah ta'ala has taken Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into his rahmah. Allah ta'ala has chosen Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam to come in. Fight the Dajjal. Only Isa alayhi salam. Nobody else has got the ability to overpower him. But yes, we have been given the weapon to protect ourselves. So going back to the name Dajjal, it means a great deceiver. And Allah Ta'ala knows that when we are living on the face of this earth, one thing that can happen to a person is very quickly he can be sucked into some other form of deception that will take his iman away from him. And he will start living and leading his life in a manner thinking that this is the real life. And that is what the Dajjal is going to come and do. One hadith mentions that the Sahaba said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you have said that the Dajjal is going to come and you're going to have a mountain of bread with him, meaning a whole lot of provision. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he's much more despicable than that. He can't have that. But obviously his outward facade and the outward image that he'll put up is that he has got nourishment. Your rosy, he's going to control it. So don't fall in the trap to think that someone else besides Allah Ta'ala controls your rosy. That is what is meant here. So do not fall into the deception of the Dajjal when he comes. And in this world, while you are living your life from one Friday to another, you are also challenged. And you are deceived from time to time by various illusions that make you think that your rosy is here, that your life is here forever, that what you own is forever, that if you've got power, you are everything. So the link of Suratul Kahf to the deception of the Dajjal, very briefly, my brothers, is this. There are four stories mentioned in Suratul Kahf. The first one, you know it, those who are fortunate enough to be listening to the Tuesday night tafsir, which Maulana Yusuf is giving at this point in time. He is covering those ayat of the Quran in Suratul Kahf that deal with the first story. And the first story is about a youth, group of youth that went and took refuge in a cave. Who are these youth? These youth were those people who were at the prime of their life. These youth were from royalty. They weren't just some ordinary fellows sitting around the street corners with no job and unemployed. No. They were seriously high-positioned youth who were from royalty and who had high position in the court of the king according to the historical narrations. Who are these youth? They were youth that were living a high life. Who are these youth? They were youth that were very, very wealthy. So they had power, they had wealth, they had youthfulness around them. They had all of those things. They had government, you know, civil servant. They had government support with them. You know, everything was in their favor. But their iman was challenged when they were told by the king that you need to make sajda to me. You need to take me as your God. You need to take me as your Lord. And that is the time this youth got together and they went and took refuge in the cave. My brothers, they took refuge in a cave to protect their iman. If a person recites Suratul Kahf every Friday, he is also faced with various challenges. Sometimes his position is challenged. Sometimes his rosy is challenged. Sometimes his lifestyle is challenged. Nothing else, inshallah, the recitation of Suratul Kahf on a Friday carries that nur and power, inshallah, that all these things will be protected. Just see how Allah Ta'ala protected. The Quran is the most truthful. It is the most trustworthy source. Allah says he protected them, as you heard the story on Tuesday night, that nobody could harm them. The dog was sitting there. They were kept in the cave in such a way that the sun did not beat down on them totally. For their purposes, Allah Ta'ala diverted the sun away from them. And how they were nourished and somebody is sleeping, you're supposed to wither away, but Allah Ta'ala took care of them. And for 399 years, wala bithu fi kafim, thalatha miyatin sinina, Allah Ta'ala protected them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when you protect your iman and you take care of ensuring that you are connected to me, then whatever youthfulness you have, whatever other issues you have with regard to yourself, it will not be taken. Allah says, I will protect you. Allah will protect us. So that is the one lesson in there, my respected friends and brothers. The story is very beautiful, it is interesting, and it is very lengthy. But I've just taken out the four most important points with regard to the youth. The second story that comes is about two friends or two brothers. The Quran does not mention, but it's two people. And the one was living in this worldly, materialistic dream of his, thinking that what he possessed is the be-all and end-all of life. And that is the greatest deception anybody can have. If a person thinks I possess wealth and I possess power, and I've got the bank balances on offshore and onshore and whichever other shore it might be, and I am set for life, biggest deception. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let the dunya's life lead you astray and deceive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Allah says, مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The dunya is, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The materialistic things that you possess, it is but غرور. It is deception. So Dajjal is going to come and deceive people. And in this world already people are deceived by this power of Dajjal, thinking that if they own and they possess the greatest amount of wealth, they are somewhere. They are nowhere, my brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes one ayat here. And he says that this fellow is saying to his friend, came to his orchard. Allah says he had a massive orchard growing like this, and there was water coming out like that, and this was growing and that was growing, all that is there. He says to his brother, Ma zunnu anta bida hadhihi abada. He says, I don't think that ever this thing can be destroyed. I don't think I will ever lose this. I am well set. No one is well set, my brothers. We've seen people who are well set, living in palatial palaces, in homes, having the best of everything, and how Allah Ta'ala just pulled the rug from under them and they had nothing. That is the reality of life. The deception and the illusion is that I own it and it is with me. It can be with me forever. It will never be. This man says, Ma azunnu an tabida hadhihi abada. That's the first thing. And the second thing he says, Ana aktharu minka malan wa azzu nafara. I have got much more money than you. And I am much more greater than you in terms of individuals. That means I've got more children, I've got more power, I've got more servants, I've got more workers, I've got more whatever it is. Nafara means all these individuals that normally climb around the great king when he is doing his thing. I've got all of that. Now that is the other deception. People sometimes get carried away and they think that is what life is about. To accumulate and to amass all these things and to give themselves the sense of power and glory that there's no one who can touch me. And there's competition that comes with it. So everyone wants to try and outdo something. That's an illusion. That's a chasing a dream that's going to get you nowhere. Read Suratul Kahf on a Friday. You'll be saved from that deception of Dajjal. And this is a form of Dajjal in this day and age, my brothers. So we find people, they get carried away sometimes, competing, boasting. And then also with that comes arrogance. Once that arrogance comes, and then a person will never be able to see reason. He'll never be able to have compassion. It's only about him and himself only. And we see it in the greater powers. We see it in so-called leaders, wherever they might be, how they become so arrogant, they don't want to let go. So the second one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. Allah says, now this is how Allah pulls it under your eye. No matter what you own, tomorrow markets can crash. So anything can happen, any calamity, Allah protect us. Allah says, in the night, his garden was overtaken, his orchards, his wealth was overtaken by some calamity. In the morning, فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ. And he was rubbing his hands, عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا. And he saw what he had done, how he had spent all that was down. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا. Those things were just standing on the little, trellises that normally the things grow on, this creeper type of plants. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. He said, you know, he used to say that كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ. He says, all this has been given to me from myself. I did it. My power, my intelligence. So Allah says, nothing of yours. We just turn the thing like that and you're gone. Recitation of Surah Al-Kahf, and the Surah Al-Kahf is linked to this particular incident by telling us that don't ever live in this deceptive world. People have seen it, they were there and they were there. And people were there and they went up there. So it changed all the time. Tilka al-ayyamun udawwiluha bayna an-nas. Third story is that of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. He's a Nabi of Allah. Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach him that there is always scope for more knowledge. The story is lengthy. He went to Khizr alayhi salam, where the two Majmal Bahrain, the place where the seas meet, somewhere in the Middle East. And then we find that Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam says, you got knowledge, but you must not come with me, because your knowledge and my knowledge is going to clash. I also got knowledge. And you know the story, the three people, one place Khizr alayhi salam twisted the little neck of a little child, killed him. Then another place Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam repaired a boat that had been broken. Musa alayhi salam was very cross about that. Why did you do that? And he broke a boat. Khizr alayhi salam broke a boat. Musa alayhi salam says, why break a boat? These are poor people making money. And the third one was, people did not want to host Musa alayhi salam and Khizr alayhi salam in that village. And as they're walking on this wall is falling down, Khizr alayhi salam straightens the wall. Mustn't fall down. Musa alayhi salam got cross. How you do that? Those people couldn't even give us a piece of bread here. One, Musa alayhi salam was acting on to his knowledge. Khizr alayhi salam was telling him, I've got another form of knowledge that comes from Allah Ta'ala, it is a wisdom. And he explained the wisdom in each case, that this child Allah Ta'ala knew is going to be a cause of his children going to Jahannam. He needed to be eliminated. There's people on the boat, their boat would be captured by a king on the other side who was cruel. He only captured boats that were, you know, nice, roadworthy, seaworthy. Anything wrong, he wouldn't take it. And the third thing is, this wall, I straightened it because there's a wealth of two orphans at the bottom there. So while you are reasoning according to your knowledge, my knowledge is something else. The lesson for us here, my brothers, every Friday when we read Surah Al-Kahf, it will create in us that nur and that power to understand that sometimes things happen, there's a greater wisdom behind it. A lot of people can't understand that. Many times we become angry with Allah Ta'ala. We start saying things against Allah Ta'ala like we can't believe. And we start questioning the wisdom of Allah. Recitation of Surah Al-Kahf is linked to this incident that you don't do that. There are a lot of other lessons also. And the fourth one is Dhul Qarnain. We'll conclude on that. Was this great conqueror. The historians and the Mufassirin have gone into various details. I've got such a thick book on who Dhul Qarnain was and where he went to. Allah Ta'ala says he was this great person, that Allah had granted him a great amount of power and wealth and material strength, which he was using as a conqueror. And what was he using? He was using this to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I've given you wealth. If you are not going to use it in a correct way, then you are causing yourself harm. So use, you know, they say, apna maal, apna jaan, apna waqt. Use your life, your wealth, and your time to spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what Dhul Qarnain was doing. So Allah Ta'ala says he went first to the east. Where's the east? Some people say he went up to the Kiribati Islands. Then he came to the west. Where's the west? Some people say he came to the Maldives, because they've traced a whole lot of things. Then he went to the north. And when he came to the north, he met the Yajuj Majuj people there. Where's the north? Some historians said he came to China. That's where he came. That's a whole different story. But the story behind Dhul Qarnain is that the wealth and the power that Allah Ta'ala had vested in him and granted him, he used it for the promotion and the propagation of the deen. And if a person has got wealth and if he does not use it in that way, he is exposing himself to abuse it. And we see today when people, how they abuse power, how they just oppress and they kill and they maim. You know, human life is expendable. The end justifies the means. We have to destroy somebody, we'll have to destroy our own, we'll have to destroy our own. But our object of maintaining and clinging onto power and be the superpower has to remain. So again, my brothers, in that context, it's like that. In our own little context, if a person doesn't take care of whatever Allah has given him, then he also is exposed and he has the same danger of going in the wrong direction with whatever gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. That's why Dhul Qarnain says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُ جَزَاءً الْحُسْنَى That whoever does good deeds and bring iman, the effort of iman is this, that you make iman and you have good deeds, for him is going to be a good deed. Inviting the people, taking them away from all these illusions, from these deceptions, from this, the jaliyat, putting them on a straight line. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا. He says, we will also treat such people in a very kind way, soft way. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when people are obedient to Allah, and when the a'mal are correct, Allah Ta'ala will place such rulers over them that will be kind to them. And if we don't do that, Allah Ta'ala says, it place such rulers, they will be cruel, oppressive to you, to your elders and to your children. They will show no mercy on them. So that is a frightening hadith, my respected friends and brothers. So coming back to Suratul Kahf, linking it up to Friday, the lessons in Suratul Kahf, and we read every Friday, let's not just read it quickly. It's a very long surah to read, very difficult, quickly get over and done with. No. Read it to this reflection, my brothers, and bring the noor of it, and let that noor carry us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, from one Friday to the other Friday, Umma Alina.